welcome to Sports Talk with Tonsoni, the Indiana Baseball Edition. I'm your host, Brian Tonsoni, and along with Chris Feeney, Josh Bennett, Cassidy Palmer, and Carl James, we will be bringing you information on Indiana baseball. Hope you enjoy the show. Hello, everyone. I'm your host, Brian Tonsoni. I'd like to personally thank all Indiana baseball fans for helping shake up the baseball universe this weekend and thus ending a five-game losing streak for the Hoosiers. Let's quickly recap this week's action. On Tuesday at the BART, Indiana lost to Kentucky 7-6. A few base-running mistakes negated a decent offensive performance. Matt Gorski, Ryan Fineman, Logan Sowers, Drew Ashley, and Jeremy Houston each had two hits. Fineman and Ashley homering in the game, and Tommy Summers was the most effective pitcher, throwing two innings of scoreless relief. Friday, the Big Ten moved to Lincoln, Nebraska, where Indiana lost the opener 5-2. A key error allowed the lead runs as Indiana was unable to get the bats going. Matt Lloyd and Sowers had two hits each, with Sowers going yard. Cade Crisco pitched two innings of shutout ball in relief. Saturday, the losing streak ended by the score of 6-3 in Indiana's favor. The Hoosiers trailed early, however. A game-tying homer in the second by Drew Ashley was followed by back-to-back homers by Miller and Bradley in the fourth to give Indiana the lead. Miller's homer was a three-run shot. Lloyd, Gorski, and Ashley all had three hits on the day. Paulie Milto made his return to the starting rotation with a solid start and picked up the win. Lloyd had a clean ninth for the save. Sunday, Indiana continued its winning ways by a score of 8-6. Indiana scored the first eight runs to lead 8-0, only to see Nebraska score six unanswered runs and hit a ball to the wall that was caught for the final out. That could have been the game winner. Sowers led the attack with three hits. Lloyd, Ashley, Houston each had two. Tim Heron had a good start and picked up the win, and Lloyd earned another save in the ninth. Indiana now sits 33-15 overall and 11-9 in the Big Ten. Good for sixth place in the Big Ten. And now it's time for our Hoosier highlights. We got back to winning ways, and we have some Hoosier highlights. We're going to start with you, Cassie. What is this week's Hoosier highlight?
So for me, it was really how Logan Sowers recovered defensively in the outfield. After that tough play on Saturday where the home run goes off his glove and over the wall, that's always tough to rebound from. But he made so many fantastic plays on Sunday, including the catch at the wall to end it. But he also went into the fence along the side and foul territory. He made catch after catch on Sunday, and so that was really impressive.
And we are going to send it now to Josh. What is your Hoosier highlight? Sorry, I jumped the script.
You're fine. Thanks, Brian. My Hoosier highlight this week is the glorious 20 minutes or so on Saturday afternoon that we also know as the top of the fourth inning. Drew and I were watching the game, and Mama and Bo were in the other room. Logan Sowers led off the inning with a base hit, and then Ashley off a good at bat, went back-to-back singles. And then Luke Miller goes oppo, and Drew and I are jumping up and down, screaming. Mama and Bo come running in the room, high fives all around, and then no sooner had she turned around and left the room than boom, Scotty goes back-to-back. Nobody out and four runs in. That was a good thing to see. Bo's clapping along with us, and the Nebraska coach comes out for the pitcher, and Drew and Nancy just spontaneously bust into the take him out, leave him in, he'll figure it out routine. So, yeah, it was a fun, exciting moment brought to us by Hoosier baseball when they're 700 miles away. So even if we're not there at the park, we still get into it and love it.
Very good, Carl. Your Hoosier highlight for the week.
My highlight comes from Friday, and oddly enough, is from a Nebraska player's home run. Angelo Altuvita hit a home run on Friday. And then he stopped and he stared at it. This home run brought him up to the Mendoza line, by the way. So he's standing there at the Mendoza line staring at a home run. And at this point, you know, IU's been on a losing streak. The captain of the hitting part of the team, Ryan Feinman, gets right up behind him to move him along. And at that point, it was very obvious that he needed to move along. He did flip his bat on the way, but he did finally move along. And Ryan Feinman stuck up for his guy. He stuck up for John Stever. He became the leader, and he really showed his team that he's going to stick behind. You're not going to do that to my guy. And made such a point that that Darren Erstad took Altuvila out of the game. I just was one of those moments that, you know, maybe fired this team up and really helped them turn the corner. So that's my Hoosier highlight.
And Carl, I apologize. I missed a possible clip there. There's in Bull Durham, when the main character catcher goes after the guy, he told him that there was a pitch coming and he hits a home run and he gets after him. That would have been a good clip to play for your Hoosier highlight. Chris Feeney, your Hoosier highlight for the week.
Okay, this week it's our high school Hoosier highlight. We're going to be talking about Grant Richardson. The reason why we're bringing him up is because he just threw a two-hit complete game with 12 strikeouts versus Westfield. He pitched to only four over the minimum. He gave up the two hits, and then there were two errors. He also had an RBI double in the game because Grant's a two-way guy. He's a left-handed pitcher on the mound, and he's an outfielder with a power bat. He's 6'2", 200, power to basically all fields. He got invited to the Super 60 from Prep Baseball Report. Now, only 60 players from 35 states that they cover are invited to this event, and he was one of them. He was one of two Hoosiers, actually. Jeff Holtz from Wisconsin was also invited. He was also named first-team All-State. And he was named as an outfielder, probably because we already had three other pitchers from IU already on the first All-State team. So that might have been why. So I'm definitely looking forward to seeing Grant Richardson in fall ball. He had a great performance this past week.
And my Hoosier highlight, it just seems the bats are back from the last game at Minnesota, scoring six runs to the tough loss against Kentucky. And then Saturday and Sunday, it seems like our offense is starting to come back. Matt Lloyd starting to find that streak again, Gorski being Gorski. And we just only have a couple of players right now that still remain in the funk, and I think it's the right time to get hot. So now it's time for our Limo hats, and normally we would play Lazy Mary here, but we are superstitious at Talking Hoosier Baseball, and there was a request maybe to switch it up, and I wasn't able to fulfill that request, but I will start the Limo hats by wishing Chris Feeney a happy birthday. I heard it's your 24th birthday today.
24th.
You don't look a day older than 22, maybe, but happy birthday, big fella. And thank who you. Do you have for our Limo hats?
All right. Our Limo hat award winners. First, we have our offensive player of the week, Limo hat. He's been mentioned already on the show, but I'm glad to mention him again. We wanted three-run homers. We talked about it last week. We got a three-run homer. Luke Miller, he's going to get the offensive player Limo hat. He had three hits, he scored two runs, and he had three huge RBIs. The ship was leaking water, okay? Let's be honest, heading into Saturday. And I think as much as everyone was dancing in Josh's living room, I think there was a lot of living rooms with a lot of people moving around, yelling, screaming, or even just raising their hands in relief, like finally a big hit. It was well needed. And then we go over to our defensive player of the week. Another guy I already mentioned. Cassie spoke about him a lot. Logan Sowers. He made that great catch on the foul ball. He scaled the wall to rob the home run. the beauty of radio. I'm telling you, I enjoyed that call so much. So Sowers is going to get the defensive player of the week. Now, again, if I could give a second one, because he defended, and he sure did. And another guy that's already been mentioned, Carl mentioned Ryan Feinman. He defended Jonathan Stever. So that was big time stuff too. But Sowers took that hat from him. It was Feinman's for a little while. And then our pitcher of the week, Limo hat. So glad to give him another one. We needed him back. Saturday starter, Paulie Milto. 6 2/3 innings, just the 5 hits and 2 runs, 5 Ks. Just something seemed back. Maybe it's just him, just his presence, what he does to the team. You know, I don't think it's a coincidence that that started us off with some winning, with some hits, with some good innings. So Paulie gets the offensive, Logan gets the defensive, and Paulie gets the pitching, Logan gets the defensive, and Luke Miller gets the offensive limo hat of the week.
Another excellent set of selections from Chris Feeney. We normally go around and give some cheese hats out, but we have a special segment coming up later in the show that I think everyone will enjoy. So we'll just say shout outs to everyone gets a cheese hat for bouncing back and winning the series. And the guys that are bouncing back offensively, cheese hats to all of you. Good job. So now we're going to go to a Big Ten report from Carl. And with 1 week left in the Big Ten season, there is a little bit of a selection and seeding left open, or a lot of seeding left open, but a few teams still have not clinched their spot in Omaha for the Big Ten tournament. And Carl's going to give us an update on that at this moment. Carl, it's all yours.
Yeah. We are looking. It's been pretty interesting so far. If you are on video, you'll be able to, I'm going to share my screen here so you guys can see it. Minnesota has finally broken out and taken the lead in the conference, 16-4, passing Michigan. Then that team up north is next, followed by Illinois and Ohio State. Indiana is in sixth, a half a game ahead of Iowa. And this is where it really gets interesting. If you look at that that eighth place mark, and you'll actually notice that eighth and ninth have the same record, Maryland and Michigan State. Only one of those teams, only the teams eight and above, get to go to the Big Ten tournament in Omaha. So the five teams below that are not going. Penn State and Northwestern, they're already out. They're too far behind. Rutgers basically needs the equivalent of a miracle in order to get there, which would include sweeping Minnesota, which, sorry, that's not going to happen. I'm calling it now. Nebraska is in slightly better shape than Rutgers, but they're going to need for Indiana to put the hurt on Maryland. And then Nebraska is going to have to go win and sweep a series as well. So there's a lot that has to be done for those teams below. Most interesting is the Maryland-Michigan State. They are tied, but the tiebreaker is already decided, and Maryland owns that tiebreaker. So Michigan State needs to do one game better than Maryland. So Michigan State's going to be playing, and they're also going to be rooting for Indiana as well. And that's where the standings are at the moment. One thing I really try to point out is that you look at these standings and they are what determine the seeding. But when you look at the quality of how the Big Ten play has gone, I think it's important to weight it a bit for strength of schedule. Since I am an RPI guy, I use RPI as my weighting, because that's what the committee uses, just to be able to make an argument that, you know, maybe a team like Michigan really isn't the second best team in the league just because they've won 15 games. So if I go here and I sort this by a stat I call CRPI for conference RPI, what it does here, oops, make sure I do it the right way. Yes. Switch that around. Okay. And now we look at the ranking. For the first time, the leader of the conference is also the leader in this particular metric. Minnesota has pretty much shown that they are the best team in the conference based on their performance so far, both in and out of the conference. Although full year RPI, Indiana is not far behind. But if you look at this, Indiana jumps from 6th to 4th place because of a much, much tougher strength of schedule. And really not very far at all behind Iowa, and not that far behind Ohio State. Michigan goes all the way down to 7th in this, and that's because their opponents have a 387 win percentage. So the strength of the schedule definitely shows that Indiana's a little bit better. In addition, I am trying to take my own gander at the last three games of the series. And I went ahead and made some predictions based on general conventional wisdom. And with this, I see Minnesota running away with the conference. That team up north and Michigan are going to be playing each other, which is going to make things interesting. And I have that team up north taking the series, which means they would get the number two seed. That is important because even with a series win, I have the Hoosiers dropping to seventh at the end of this, if the prediction holds true, which would bring the fifth matchup between that team up north and the Indiana Hoosiers come the opening of the Big Ten tournament. A six or a seven seed, however, I don't look at as too horribly negative, particularly because it means that Minnesota would not be faced by Indiana during the first two rounds of the tournament when their two really big guns are up pitching. So there is a bright side to that. I have also done a CRPI based on this result, in which case, even though Indiana fell to seventh, they actually rise to third in the CRPI. So the strength of schedule continues to be strong there. And if you look how close they are in CRPI to Ohio State, that could actually, if this were to turn into a sweep of Maryland, we could actually make the argument that Indiana actually finished second in the Big Ten when weighted for strength of schedule. So that's pretty much what I've got. I did want to take a brief look at large hopes for Big Ten teams. Right now, if you look at the RPI, Minnesota is clearly in, Indiana clearly in. You know, a real bad performance by Indiana could possibly put Indiana on the bubble, but we're not hoping for that. And then you've got Ohio State, which is in a really good shape. They've got a 7-7 record against the top 50 in the RPI. That team up north is would need to have a really, really good week and at least start the Big Ten tournament off well, to, in my opinion, to be considered. And I would say even more so for Michigan. Illinois is a little bit closer at 44 in the RPI, but again, they're going to have to do some work. Iowa is struggling now. 64 RPI is really, really hurting them, even though they are 8-8 against the top 50. So there's still a possibility for up to seven teams from the Big Ten to make it, but I'm thinking it's really more along the lines of four or five at the moment. We'll have a better idea once the season is concluded.
And Carl, you said, is this correct that all Indiana needs to do is win one game to assure their spot in the Big Ten field? Is that correct?
That is correct, yes, because Nebraska cannot pass Indiana anymore, and to guarantee pass Maryland is a single game.
Okay, so there you have it. There's a little Big Ten report heading into the last series of the year in Big Ten play, and Indiana, as we'll talk later, is going to face Maryland in that series with a chance to probably be sixth or seventh in the Big Ten for the tournament. Now we're going to turn our attention to our seniors from the Indiana University baseball program. We're going to go through every one of the seniors. We had six seniors graduating. We have a special manager. We have also another senior who has already graduated and been in the graduate program. I believe that's correct. So we're going to start out and discuss our seniors. So here we go.
A real American, fight for what's right, fight for your life.
Our first senior is the man, the myth, the legend, the gentleman who runs to the backstop every time there is a foul ball back to the screen, keeps the umpire loaded with baseballs, and has one of the best smiles in the Big Ten. It is none other than our special favorite manager, Cooper Kinnaman. Carl, share a little bit about that great young man.
Yes, Cooper has been a great presence with the team and with Bart and at Bart Kauffman Field. And I like to really focus on a snapshot of his career as an IU manager, and that is when he worked as the ball boy for the Big Ten tournament last year at the BART, not only for Indiana games, but he worked as the exclusive ball boy for all 15 games. So 15 games in 5 days. Two of those games went 13 innings. So it was 143 innings that he worked. I actually did some math and figured out that during those 5 days, he was at the BART for 71 total hours. Friday night, he would have been there until 2 a.m. and had to be back at 8 a.m. And that was right in the middle of all of this. So, and you know what? He didn't show anywhere. He was there. He was excited. When that team up north decided that one of their players was going to try to get to a ball faster than him, he beat him to it. It became viral. Cooper Kinnaman.
Thanks, Cooper, for all that you've done. Tread my nails on the tile. I just follow your scent. You can't just follow my smile. All of your flaws are aligned with this mood of mine. Cutting me to the bone. Nothing left to leave behind. You ought to keep it concealed. Now introducing number 6, Cade Crisco. Back to you, Carl.
Yes, Cade Crisco comes from Kent, Washington, via Lower Columbia College. He's been with IU 2 years as a junior transfer. An interesting stat as a relief pitcher, Cade has not hit a batter in his entire IU career so far. Cade has been a fairly consistent arm for middle relief out of the bullpen. Multiple times he has had a couple of really good shutdown innings in the middle of games. He did actually conclude a game just this past weekend. And in 2017, he was the winner of the team's Hoosier Award. I believe Cassidy might have some more stats here.
Yes. So Cade in his career has thrown 37 and two-thirds innings as a Hoosier. And in that time has 37 strikeouts. So about one an inning. And that actually a 23% strikeout rate. So he has struck out 23% of the batters he's faced. In that same time, he's issued just 9 walks, and that amounts to about a 5.5% walk rate, which is, that kind of ratio is fantastic.
Thanks, Cade, for all that you've done here at Indiana University for the baseball program.
Can run on for a long time, run on for a long time, run on for a long time. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Sooner or later.
Number 12, BJ Sable. To you, Mr. Feeney.
All right. I get the man with the mustache. Wouldn't want it any other way. What a guy. The power-hitting back end of the bullpen member that we have here in Hoosier baseball. We first saw him appear February 20th, 2016 against Middle Tennessee State. Coach knew what he had right off the bat. He throws him in first appearance, bases loaded. He did walk the first guy, but he got a double play. Then he got a 1-2-3 inning the very next inning. He finished up his sophomore year with 32 strikeouts and 23 innings. Then his junior year, I know the highlight for me, I had to go back and look it up, man. His performance against Louisville, I thought he struck out like 10 guys. It turned out it was only 4, but it included McKay. It included Ellis. He was outstanding that night, getting that ball from the starter over back to Cade. It was incredible that night. He was throwing that frisbee. It was dancing. This year, he's got a 1.09 ERA just recently. I mean, he had a 0 ERA for a long time. He's been outstanding, 24 innings. And an interesting stat that Cassie picked up, 1,300 pitches, one wild pitch. And an interesting stat that I picked up in those 1,300 pitches, no balks.
Cassie, you got some stats on BJ?
Yeah, let's see. BJ has thrown 88 and two-thirds innings in his 3 years with the Hoosiers. Has a career 3.35 ERA. And like Chris said, it's just 1.09 this season, which is nuts. In that time, he's thrown 98 strikeouts, which is well more than one an inning, and is almost a 27% strikeout rate, which is over 3 years is nuts. Opponents are batting just 214 against him. And more on those pitches. I have one game in his career that I don't have pitch count for, but minus that one game, I have him at 1,366 pitches, 894 of them for strikes, for a 65% strike rate, which is phenomenal over the course of 3 years.
Thank you, BJ. We look to see you this weekend. Have a lot of success left, but thank you for all that you've done.
Drop the verse. It's going down, fade to Black Street. The homies got at me, collab creations. Bump like agony, no doubt. I put it down, never slouch. As long as my credit can vouch, that dog couldn't catch me.
Number 17, Laren Eustace. Cassie, this is yours.
Yes. So Laren just a couple weeks ago earned his finance degree, and also a couple of weeks ago was named the Big Ten Medal of Honor recipient, which goes to a pair of student athletes, one male, one female, from the graduating class of each university who had attained the greatest proficiency in athletics and scholastic work. So to put this into context, there are a little over 9,500 student athletes in the Big Ten each year, and only 28 earn this award. So that is phenomenal for Laren. He made his Hoosier debut in the 10th inning against Stanford his freshman year, coming in as a defensive substitution into left field. And that really sums up Laren's career so far. He's really done a little bit of everything. Need me to play left, need me to play center, pinch run, pinch hit, DH. He's up for whatever is going to help the team the most. And the most interesting stat I found was that he has committed just one error in 115 chances, and that one error came his freshman year. On his career, he's batting 239 and has played in 148 games. But in those 148 games, he's drawn 36 walks. He has a walk and a half percent, which when you're getting into double digit walk rate, you're doing really well. And one that I hadn't realized until I was looking at it, he's stolen 20 bases in 26 attempts, which is a 77% success rate. Just shows his speed on the base paths there.
Thank you, Laren. Again, we hope to see you score a lot more runs coming up here at the BART.
Can't stop addicted to the shindig. Chop top, it says I'm gonna win big. Choose not the life of imitation. Just get us into the reservation.
Number 26, Chris Lowe. Carl.
Chris Lowe, he comes from Poway, California. Has been with the Hoosiers for 4 years. He has been a consistent presence off the bench, occasionally brought into some key situations to swing the bat, and has generally been very successful when doing that. During those 4 years, this is an interesting stat, is that he has never ground into a double play as a Hoosier. In 2016, he was an academic Big Ten honoree, and has put together some pretty consistent numbers, as Cassidy can tell you about right now.
Yes. So on his career, Chris is batting .308 with a .419 on base percentage. Both of those numbers for a 4 year career, I don't care how many at bats you're seeing. If you're doing that, you're doing well. And one of the things that stood out to me was 31% of his hits have gone for extra bases.
Very good. Thank you, Chris, for your dedication to Indiana baseball.
There was this letter I read. If you like piña coladas and getting caught in the rain, if you're not
Number 36, Colby Stratton. Josh, it's yours.
Yeah, when I hear the name Colby Stratton, I think of one thing, and that's winner. In high school, he played at Bloomington North here in town. He led his team to their first ever conference title. They had a team record 21 consecutive wins. And then when he came to IU, he's the only current player that we have that came in under Coach Smith. He was a redshirt that year, but since he's joined the program, IU has 178 wins. He's a three-time academic All-Big Ten, 15, 16, and 17. I'm assuming 18 will probably be the same, but he's a true utility infielder. He can play any position in there, and he's always been ready when his number's been called, regardless of how often that is or if he goes a week without playing or plays for a week straight, he's always ready. This season, he's batting .350. An interesting career stat is 23% of his career hits have been for extra bases. So on a personal note, Drew went to the IU baseball camp, the Little Hoosier camp this summer, both sessions, and he was a counselor instructor. And I got to watch him quite a bit, working one-on-one with the guys, and he just did a great job. A high character guy. He even recognized Drew from the camp, even though he saw him for a few hours throughout those weeks in the middle of summer when we showed up the first game this year. He knew his name. So just standout guy. Appreciate him being a Hoosier.
Cassie, some stats on Colby.
Yes. So on his career, Colby's batting .236. And like was just said, he is batting .350 this year, which is the highest season average of his career. He also has a career .327 on base percentage. And once again, this year, he has the highest on base percentage of his career. So he's really making the most of his senior year this year.
And thank you, Colby, for being a Hoosier. We've appreciated watching you play.
But I think it's a total disgrace. And I swear I find
number 40, Brian Hobby. Chris?
All right. He's the pride of Glenwood High School out of Illinois. He started with us as number 30, actually, February 15th as a freshman out in Stanford. He got put in to relieve Evan Bell to hold a one-run deficit to keep it at one, and he did. He got his first career K out there on the West Coast. Later that season in March, he got his first start. It was a win against Eastern Michigan. Then later that week, he got another win against Cal State in relief, and that won him Freshman of the Week in the Big Ten. And Indiana doesn't have that many of those, and Brian Hobby has his name on one. I think that's real cool. As a sophomore, he only gave up four hits the whole year. Then as a junior, back to a starter, and a specific moment I remember, we had lost a few games coming back from the team from the North Road trip. We lost that real cold home opener to Middle Tennessee State, and he pitched that Saturday game, 6 innings, 1 run. He had his cheer and his name as he came off the mound. Real special moment. It was the first time we could see us doing well in person at the Bart during the season. He actually ended up with the third most innings pitched on the team for the season, which was actually a surprise to me. I think his hard work, his innings put in, kind of even snuck up on some guys who watch every day. Brian's a real hard worker. This year, been put in a bunch of rough spots among runners on base, especially early on in the year. He's done real well out there in those positions. And a stat that Cassie pulled up, 2 complete games in his career. One against that team near the Wabash River, and then one against Northwestern. I specifically remembered him. The Northwestern game, I believe it was a Friday evening, back end of a doubleheader. It was huge that he was able to throw that complete game. If I remember, there was a mound visit in the ninth, and I was pleading for them to leave him in. I'm glad Coach did. Brian got the complete game victory that day. It's been a pleasure to watch number 40, and that'd be it for Brian. We're going to send it over to Cassie for some more stats on number 40.
Yeah, so in his career, Brian by far the most innings of any of the senior pitchers. He's also the only one of them who's been here all 4 years. But he has thrown 108 and two-thirds innings, which was surprising, but also at the same time not, because we've seen him so many years in such key situations. He's thrown 64 strikeouts, but just 32 was a career six and change percent walk rate, which is phenomenal over the course of 4 years.
Thank you, Brian. Again, we've appreciated seeing you on the mound, and keep up the good work. Our last senior.
From that Chi-town dirt, I went from being broke to sleeping in Versace shirts. Yeah. This is my story. Money, cars, bad home. This is my story.
Number 51, Logan Sowers. Josh?
Yeah, what hasn't Logan done in his career in this state of Indiana? From McCutchen up in Lafayette, he was 2014 Indiana Mr. Baseball before coming down to Bloomington. In 2015, he made the all-freshman team. 2016, he was the team MVP. 2017, he was Player of the Year. Right now, he's sitting on 34 home runs, and that has him tied for ninth all-time IU history. He's also 10th in doubles with 48. He's sitting at 223 hits for his career. He's just 5 hits out of the top 10. So hopefully he can get 5 hits this weekend and put his name in another top 10 in the IU record books. Fun stat is he's roughly doubled his walk rate in his senior season. His current season rate is 16.3%. His first 3 seasons, the rate was just over 8. And I think all of us, none of us will ever forget his 3 home run game in the regionals last season. It was a good way to end the season, and the only Hoosier to hit 3 in the post game. So he will be missed. And then we really appreciate what Logan's done for us. You have any stats for us, Cass?
Let's see. Yes. So I found that Logan has played in 200 in his career. In that time, he's batting .282 with a .479 slugging percentage. And within those 223 hits, 85 of them have been for extra bases for 38%. That is absolutely bonkers. RBI. And in addition to his walk rate going up, his strikeout rate is going down. His strikeout rate is down more than 8 percentage points from last season, which is fantastic. And for his last 3 seasons, I didn't start pitch counts until his sophomore year. So the last 3 seasons, he's seen 600 pitches at the plate, which kind of blew my mind.
And Logan, thank you again for an outstanding 4 years. And again, to all the seniors, to Cooper, to Cade, to BJ, Laren, Chris, Colby, Brian, and Logan, it has been an honor and a privilege to watch you play baseball at Bart Kauffman Field. And we look forward to seeing you one last weekend and in the tournament. So now those seniors will take on in their last time at Bart Kauffman Field, Maryland. But before Maryland, we have a team that a rival team that we're also going to play that's a little south of us, Louisville. And for that preview, we head back to Chris Feeney.
All right, thanks. Louisville Cardinals, ACC, 37-15 on the season, 22-9 at home, and they're hot. They won 5 in a row. The last midweek game, they put up 24 runs on Cincinnati and won 24-6. They've won their last 6 midweek games in a row, actually. And if you go to their midweek games at home, they've only lost 1 the entire season. That was in a midweek series, a 2-gamer at Louisville against Texas Tech, where they split. So that's the only midweek game they lost the entire year. The 2 big bats are gone. They're in the minor leagues. And so they're not really a power-hitting team. You know, Ellis and McKay are obviously, they got drafted. But they are a running team for sure. I mean, that's still what they preach. They have two guys with over 20 steals, Fitzgerald and Snyder, and they have one guy with over 30 steals. That's Josh Stowers. So the total for the season for the Cardinals is 107 stolen bases. So I think they start running the minute they put the pants on over there. I don't know. Fineman's got to be ready. You know, pitchers maybe change up the delivery to the plate, maybe step off, delay the delivery. You know, I think this is going to be real important to control their running game. And then back at home to the BART for the last series. It always goes too fast, right? I feel like we were just over there freezing against Cincinnati. But this is it. This is the last weekend. It's against Maryland, Team USA, whatever you want to call them. I heard there might be some rain in the forecast, too. So hopefully D'Lo gives a call to the boys, gives us some tips on how to hit oppos in the rain. Maryland is 24-27. They're 9-14 on the road. They're pretty hot, too. They've won four games in a row. They just swept Rutgers to close out their home season. Will Watson was the Big Ten player of the week this week. This guy hit two home runs in one inning, a three-run homer and a granny. So he had seven RBIs in one inning. Pretty incredible. It actually wasn't the record, though. Some guy, Jake Brott from Santa Clara, hit two grannies in one inning this year. I was shocked. So the guy gets seven RBIs in one inning, and he's not first for most RBIs in an inning on the season. Incredible. Nick Dunn is their star. 10 home runs, 39 RBIs. He's got 115 total bases. They have, besides Nick Dunn, they have no other double-digit guys for home runs, but they have six guys with five or more home runs. So it's spread out a little bit throughout the lineup. They have four guys with 10 steals or more, but nobody has more than 12, so that's pretty spread out as well. As far as the pitching, team ERA is just over 5 at 5.10, and they've given up 43 bombs. The famous Friday night starter, as we always seem to stress those Friday night games, Hunter Parsons, he's got a 3.47 ERA. He's 5-2. Okay, this guy can pitch. He's got 60 strikeouts and 68 innings. He's got two complete games, and he threw a complete game shutout against Stetson. Now you're like, who's Stetson? Stetson's going to host a regional. So they've got a good lineup. They're a good team, and he threw a complete game shutout against them early in the year. Something to mention, the Marty party is not raging as much as it was last year. He's having a much different season. But again, you know, he is a power bat. Hopefully Stever and Milto caught some tips playing with him over at the Cape. And maybe they'll, you know, shut him down a little bit. He did pretty well at the BART last year, also in the tournament. So another thing to mention for the weekend series, the Thursday game is 7 p.m. And they're going to give out 250 replica flags for the College World Series because it's the five-year anniversary. Then on Friday night, the 6 o'clock start, that's going to be those baseball cards for the game that got canceled. They're going to give those out. And then on Saturday, the 2 o'clock start, the whenever we get there tailgate, I think we're officially calling it 9:30. I think we might even get there earlier, though. Who knows? It's the last one. We're calling it 9:30, though. And we're going to wrap up probably about 1:15. I think Josh is going to talk about it more later. But the official first pitch is 2 p.m. And from what I understand, the senior ceremonies are going to be starting, I think they said, about 20 minutes before that. They're also going to give out a senior collage poster, which I don't remember them ever doing. So that'd be pretty cool. Get a poster with all the guys. As far as alumni, this one's pretty ironic because I don't know if you guys are familiar, but today's the anniversary of the last day of Seinfeld, the last episode. And alumni of Maryland, Larry David. So he might be at the BART, and he'll probably be celebrating, you know, that Seinfeld's anniversary. Another creator of another show, I've talked about this show before, The Wire. David Simon, the creator of The Wire, the producer. He's a Maryland grad. And Scott Van Pelt, many of us know. I tried to get in touch, tried to get him on the show. He was busy. And Bonnie Bernstein, I also tried. Another very famous media member. She also, she just didn't reply, to be honest. So I don't know. I guess she didn't know who we were. You know, that's going to be the series. Again, come on out. It's the last chance to see them. We got three games left. And, all right, it might be a little bit of rain. But the last time we played this Team USA, I remember some good times in the rain. So come on out. Tailgate on Saturday. Last time to see the guys in person, especially the seniors.
And since it's a big weekend, we're going to do our a little bit of a final roundtable here on what we're looking forward to and what we're thinking about this weekend. Josh, I know there's rain in the forecast, and that brings back a little bit of happiness. Explain.
Yeah, it does. Well, hopefully, first off, I hope that we can keep the momentum of the two wins rolling. I'm a bit concerned that some of the guys might be hitting a wall or wearing down due to the grind of the season. Ryan and Kalitha last weekend were just 2-27 at the plate, so they just don't look the same as they had been lately. But and Ryan started all but four games this season. Logan's carried so much the offensive load for a big chunk of the season. So on the pitching side, Cal's thrown four innings less than our number four starter and leads the team with 23 appearances. BJ's right behind him at 19. This last week, they gave up seven runs in 6.2 innings. I know this is small sample size, and it's probably only noticed because of how amazing those guys have been all season long, but the thought creeps into my head when things like that are happening at this point in the season. But I'm guessing they won't have any problem getting up for this series. I took a peek at the forecast, like you said earlier, and there is a possibility for some precipitation. I don't think it's anything like the monsoon that we had last year against these guys, but for some reason, as miserable as that was while we were going through it, and it's happening, I only have fond memories of it. Nancy might not be in the same boat. She was trying to keep a two-month-old bow dry at that point. I think I might have slept on the couch that night, but it was worth it.
And for those of you who are listening on the audio portion, we are showing a picture of Didelo, who hit the home run in the weather that made Josh so happy there. Chris Feeney has a
sorry, Josh. I wasn't ignoring you. I was just reading
you're
the
good
paper a little bit. Just reading the paper a little bit here about Mr. Didelo. I was not ignoring you at all. My apologies.
Good times.
So, Cassie, we're gonna go to you now and talk a little bit more about the starting pitching that we faced recently, and we're going to see a little bit of different look. Is that correct this weekend?
I'm actually not completely sure if we'll see a different look. I noticed lately that we have seen a ton of righties, as in over the last 3 weeks, 86% of the innings have been against righty pitchers. I really noticed with Minnesota, I believe. Yeah, Minnesota, we saw only righties. We did not see a single left-handed pitcher all weekend. And so that really struck me. We've seen no Big Ten lefty starters since Fisher in the first Illinois game, but the Kentucky starter in the midweek was a lefty. Now, Blom for Maryland. He's one of their four. They've got four kind of rotating starters based on what they need. He's the only one of those four that's a left-handed pitcher. He's been out the last 2 weeks with arm soreness, and he was loosely expected back this past weekend, but maybe they decided not to test him playing Rutgers when it was kind of unnecessary. So I'll be curious to see if we face him this time around, and if so, will he be a starter? Last year against him, it didn't go particularly well. We only scored two runs on six hits and in 6 2/3 innings off of him. So, but I would love to see some more lefties. These guys do pretty well against lefties, so that would be really nice.
I agree with you on the lefties. Let's give him a start and let's bash him all around the Bart. Chris, you talk about big hitters and the importance of getting big hitters out. When you get the big hitter out, things might go well. When you don't, you might lose. So talk a little bit about the importance this weekend and who we need to stop.
Well, Nick Dunn is definitely the guy. I feel like we've done really well since Ohio State. Like, we shut down Spillane. I mean, for the most part, I've seen him have huge weekends after us. You know what I'm saying? And then just this weekend with Schrider, he didn't do much. And now if we can shut down Nick Dunn, let somebody else go after somebody else. You know, I think we learned our lesson from McGowan. We kept going after him. He kept beating us. So what we want to do, at least my opinion on it, is let's let somebody else beat us. and be real careful with Dunn.
And you think the new coach is going to make a difference in the cheerleading that goes on in the dugout, or what's your prediction?
Well, again, I mean, it's a lot of the same players, a lot of the same Team USA members, if we could call them that. And it's just, they were just so obnoxious, the whole Team USA, the whole thing with the running in and out of the bathrooms. And then the minute we did something good and they cheer back, and then they want to fight. So the attitude of that team was really, really different than what we've seen other teams come in with. And it was just, I hope this coach preaches something different, or has at least some self-control over the team that he's running. But if not, I really hope our guys keep their cool, because we got a lot more to lose than they do.
And Feeney, I commend you for resisting the actual words in the script that you wrote in the script, keeping this podcast PG-13. It's good. It's good for our ratings, but the words were actually, they were correct, though. I agree with you. Well, yes, we're better off not saying our feelings. That was just for emphasis and writing, but I like that, Chris. That's by an opposing team more than Maryland last year. So I'm really excited about getting to the BART and seeing us pay them back again. Carl, talk about the importance of this weekend for both teams, and it's going to be a well-played, focused game. At least Maryland's got a lot to play with. We just need to win one. Hopefully we can match a little intensity. What do you think?
Yeah, well, Indiana's, again, just needs one to get into the Big Ten tournament, but we want to do more than just get into the Big Ten tournament. Indiana is still fighting for postseason to try to guarantee a spot in the postseason, and winning this final series is a big piece of that. For Maryland, they're fighting for survival at this point. So they've got to they're currently tied with Michigan State. They do have the tiebreaker. They've got to stay even with Michigan State. And then they've got to fend off Nebraska and technically Rutgers, but I don't think that's really a threat. But you got to think about it. This is not a spot that the Terps expected to be in coming into this season. They expected to be a national player like Indiana is. It's not happened for them. They've really, really struggled. They got beat by, you know, in a series by Army of all teams. So, you know, playing through this season, they're likely going to finish under 500, but they do have a chance to extend their season. And I can only imagine they're going to be very motivated. And Indiana's got to go out there and take care of business.
And nothing better than a huge sweep for the Hoosiers. Hey, Dad, call.
We like our dogs with mustard and relish. We got a great pitcher, what's his name? Well, we can't even spell it. We don't worry about the pennant much. We just like to see the boys hit it deep. There's nothing like the view from the cheap seats.
Well, everyone, the Talking Hoosier Baseball Cheap Seats are on the third base rail, back behind the third base dugout near the red tent. Come see us for one last time during the game at the cheap seats in the back row. But beforehand, we are holding our last Talking Hoosier Baseball and IUBase.com tailgate. I will probably be out there 8:30, 9 o'clock. It's the last one. I got to get a lot of parking lot time. Join us anytime prior to about 1:30 when we start closing up shop. But Josh, what is on tap for this tailgate on Saturday?
Yeah, thanks, Brian. We're excited about it. This Saturday, the 19th, will be our final IUBase.com Talking Hoosier Baseball tailgate for this season. For those who haven't been able to make one yet, we set up in the lot behind home plate. I guess now we're setting up at 8:30, might be 6 by the time Friday night rolls around. I'm not sure, but probably at least 8:30 or so. We'll be there. Just look for the huge candy stripe canopy. It'll be proudly displaying a brand new IUBase.com banner this week. You won't be able to miss it. If you're going into the stadium, you'll walk right past us. We'll provide the main course this week. It's going to be St. Louis style pork steaks, which I call poor man's ribs. Tastes a lot like a rib and costs a lot less. We'll probably have some dogs and things like that. for the kids. If you're looking for ideas on what to bring, it'd be nice to get some slaw, baked beans, things like that together maybe. Show up early. Bring a chair, a cooler full of your beverage of choice, and come spend the morning and early afternoon with us. We'll probably start to wrap it up about 1:15 or so, 1:30, so we can be in our seats or posted at our spot on the rail for the Senior Day festivities. I don't think we're going to miss our last opportunities to let these seniors know how much we've appreciated watching them ball for us the last 2-4 years. So even if you only have a chance to stop by and say hello while walking into the stadium, we'd love to see you Saturday.
Tailgating stops losing streaks, and we've been undefeated on the season. So again, it's just a time for all of us to get together and say hello to the fans. This is why we do this. You'll see Chris going around loving all of the chairs, and he may even present a place for you to sit. He is the chair guy. You'll see Carl going around celebrating St. Peter's snapping their 77-game losing streak. And then at some point, we all raise a toast to Cassie as she gets her scorecards ready for the afternoon. Again, we'll thank Josh for the food. It is an outstanding group. I'm better because of all of these guys. We're not done with the podcast. We'll have a wrap-up, a couple, 2 or 3 more episodes. But please stop to see us at the tailgate. So that'll do it for Talking Hoosier Baseball. Please find future podcasts on Sports Talk with Tonsoni, which can be found on your favorite podcast source, as well as under the Talking Hoosier Baseball tab on IUBase.com. Please follow IUBase.com on Twitter at IUBase17, this podcast on Twitter at the @CU at the bar, and visit IUBase.com to see other articles and other posts from our team. For the gang, I'm Brian Tonsoni. Go Hoosiers. See you at the BART. And even if the world is torn.